Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channel's Crusade.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get back to the True Money Show. Tiffany from the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Coming to you every day from 11 to 1. If you would like to be on my email list that tells you when I'm doing a live show, because sometimes I cannot get in here to do a live show, and we do a replay of many fine other shows. If you want to know when I'm doing my live shows, you can email me, david@tffco.com, and I will put you on the list, and every time I do a live show, you will get an announcement either the day before or the morning of. 844-527-8723 is how you can call in to answer my financial question of the day, which is, why can't Americans enjoy life? Or do they? We'll get to a lot of my other stories. I have a not-so-funny money segment coming up, the penny-pinching pension problem. Right now I'm doing my hero for the day, which I will get back to in just a minute. I've got to try to finish him up in about, finish this segment in about 10 minutes or so. And so, but I want to remind you a few other things coming up. At 1 o'clock, Junk Bond Carpenter has a new reverse deception show. So don't touch that icon. Right when you are ready, stick around. Right when the show ends, there's no reason to turn it off, no reason to go anywhere else.
It flows into the next show.
Junk Bond will be laying it on you. Some serious reverse deception. There is a great new shirt. I hope it's in the store already. If it's not, it should be there very shortly. A white pullover polo shirt, high quality, and it's got the beautiful Carillon de Sacré-Cœur flag embroidered over the left chest, I guess, right chest, I don't remember, but doesn't matter. It's a beautiful flag embroidered right there where the chest pocket would be normally. I'm going to buy one before I leave here today. I suppose they will go pretty quickly. If you want one, get in line. And, of course, all purchases from the store help support the Crusade channel, so thank you in advance for doing that. All right, let's get back to the hero story. So where I left off, our hero, General Henri Guisson of Switzerland, had just told his soldiers, each soldier, that if you were even alone with no officer, no non-commissioned officer around, you know what to do. Continue to resist with all your efforts under your own initiative. This is what my point was when I was leaving the last hour. He is not scared of individuals acting on their own initiative because he knows they are inspired by the same creed, the same morality, the same love of goodness, truth, and beauty that he is. And that, my friends, is where we need to progress to now. We've been diagnosing the problems for so long, and we've been sitting in our houses scared for so long because we have that little, cross purposes, right? We know what's wrong. We're offended. Our sensibilities are offended. The bounds of propriety have been pushed too far. We say it's enough is enough. And we go, but I can't act on my own. I mean, who's going to lead me? And what should I do? And what action should I take? And the answer is, whatever you deem appropriate If it means going down to City Hall, go down to City Hall. If it means marching in the streets saying a rosary, do that. If it means picking up a placard and walking around to try to draw attention to your cause, do that. Start a nonprofit. I don't know. All of those and more. Support the Crusade Channel. Let's get back to the story. He had also inoculated the Swiss against any potential subversion by a pro-Nazi fifth column or Quislings within the central government. Quote, now listen to this. This is what he's telling him, because we're going to have the same problem. If by radio, leaflets, or other media, any information is transmitted doubting the will of the Federal Council or of the Army High Command to resist an attacker, this information must be regarded as lies of enemy propaganda. Our country will resist aggression with all means in its power and to the bitter end. When we start to fight back, guys, we're going to be accused. We're going to be reviled. We're going to be criticized. There's going to be lies of immense proportion thrown against us. And we have to know ahead of time that the liberal left, Marxist, collectivist, tyrannical, totalitarian, that's what he does for a living. He lies. And we better be willing to stand up even against that kind of pressure. Don't accept the lies. I'm telling you now, don't accept them, just like Guisson told his soldiers. In keeping with Switzerland's fiercely individualistic culture, the duty to resist rested upon each soldier, even if he found himself fighting alone. Quote, everywhere where the order is to hold, it is the duty of conscience of each fighter, even if he depends on himself alone, to fight at his assigned position, close quote, General Guisson declared. The riflemen, this is another quote, if overtaken or surrounded, must fight in their position until no more ammunition exists. Then cold steel is next. These are men. Close quote. Swiss troops entrusted with heavier weapons such as machine guns, cannon, and artillery were ordered not to abandon or destroy their weapons or allow the enemy to seize them. As long as a man has another cartridge or hand weapon, he does not yield, said Guisson. It was not enough merely to fight to the last bullet. The Swiss were expected to fight with their bare hands, if necessary, to protect their homeland. As General Guisson, by the way, I haven't spelled that for anybody. If you're interested in looking up Henri Guisson, his last name is G-U-I-S-A-N. As General Guisson addressed the soldiers at Rutli Meadow, he dispelled any ambiguity about the Swiss will to resist, irrespective of the equivocal signals being sent by the central government. Quote, here, soldiers of 1940, we will inspire ourselves with a lesson in spirit of the past to envisage resolution of the present and future of the country, to hear the mysterious call that pervades this meadow, Guisson declared. Continuing the quote, to defeatist propaganda, everyone should oppose the spirit which animated the mountain folk, who in 1291, when left to themselves, placed their confidence in themselves and in God. Now that's a good combination. You've got a well-formed conscience. You can place confidence in yourself and, of course, in God. Pray, this is one of my favorite quotes, pray like everything depends on God and act like everything depends on you, because it does. Back to the article. Thus will the country be strong and the army quite ready. One order is ample, quote, hold fast, close quote. The assembled Swiss soldiers knelt in prayer and swore to be faithful to the cause of Gestige Landesverteidigung. I can't speak German or Swiss. They swore to be faithful to the cause, and this is what it means, of spiritual national defense. Whatever the Swiss central government might do or say, surrender was not an option. Oh, my goodness. Are the American people ready for that type of resolute action? The whole principle of the Crusade Channel says yes. What else? Wait, we're talking to talk? We're sending out airwaves to just to make vibrations. Mike spins himself into penury because it's fun. He loses a job and decides to keep broadcasting in the face of immense odds because it's just the thing, you know, just a nice little hobby. No. Let me listen. The assembled Swiss soldiers. So let's just put this in our context. The assembled crusaders knelt in prayer and swore to be faithful to the cause of spiritual national defense. When I was a, I'm going to stop there. That'd be the end of my hero segment. Well, let me make a little note to myself. End of part one. We'll get back to Henri Guisson in a future episode of the True Money Show. But I was going to say, when I was a young soldier, actually an ROTC candidate, well, both times, both when I enlisted and when I finished ROTC, I'm being sworn in as a second lieutenant. And it says, as you probably well know in the oath, I swear to defend my country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yes, domestic enemies do exist. They can exist. And for us to become so nationalistic, and we are, of course, that we forget our locales, we forget our families, we forget our communities, we forget our church parishes. For us to forget all that, to whitewash all that away and say, oh, no, it's just national pride. And everything America does is hunky-dory and fine and wonderful. And I have no obligation whatsoever to ever question it, look at it, wonder if it's right or wrong, or do anything about it when I see it going down the proverbial toilet. Well, there's something seriously wrong with a society and citizens in that society who are willing to do that. We are all responsible for defending our country, and here I mean our patria, our homeland, from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if we have domestic enemies, and we certainly do, it's time to be as prayerful but as resolutely defending of our areas as the soldiers at Rutley Meadow under General Henri Guisson. We can all pray that such a leader will arise that not only can we rally behind, but we can trust to not betray the cause. You're listening to The True Money Show. I am David Simpson, coming to you from the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth and Radio Size Speakers, 844-527-8723 is how you can call in. I have an entire phone bank ready to receive your calls. Young Christopher's in there, anxiously waiting for the phone to ring, for you can say, Dave, let me answer your financial question today. What is it again? Well, I'll tell you. Why can't Americans enjoy life? Or do they? Maybe they do, and I'm the only one not seeing it. Let me tell you about, let's get back to some finance. I know everybody tuned in the show for the best finance show on the airwaves during their lunch hour to hear financial talk. So let me do a little financial talk. This story you probably have already heard about, but my goodness, I've got to get into it. Why? Well, because I have clients who have pensions, both corporate and governmental. And when I say pensions are a problem, they are a problem. So here is a story by Justin Spittler. He's the editor at Casey Daily Dispatch. And he writes about an article called "This Inevitable Crisis Just Became Imminent." Listen to the first line. It's about to become the first U.S. state with a junk credit rating. I'm talking about Illinois. It's broke, and it's running out of time. Now, listen to what Illinois did. For all the people who say, well, you know, government always fixes things. They're going to come to the rescue, and everything's going to be just fine. Well, let's find out what fine means. Here you go. Illinois just passed their first budget in over 2 years. Well, first of all, if your government is not passing a budget year after year, I think it's time to go up to that state capitol and throw them out. They have the minimum responsibility to tell me what they're going to spend and where they're going to spend it. But it's just me. They just passed their first budget in over 2 years. Listen to what they did. They raised personal income taxes by 32%. They raised personal income taxes by 32% and corporate taxes by 33%. Now, I have a question for all you people who think that's going to fix it. By the way, just to give you an idea of what that's going to do, the new budget, according to this new tax plan, will raise about $5 billion, but that's barely going to put a dent in the state's $15 billion deficit. But here's my bigger problem. Do you think that people are going to remain in Illinois because the government by fiat says, let's raise taxes by 32% on people and by 33% on corporations? If you are rightly saying, no, Dave, you know, I bet you they're going to have some population loss. I bet you people are going to start migrating out of Illinois because that's absurd. Well, what happens when the migrations start? Think about it. What's going to happen there? Well, all that tax money they were trying to raise to offset their out-of-control spending is not going to be raised because the tax base is going to dissolve, right? But what's going to happen here? What I mean by that is wherever they move. I mean, they're going to be looking for jobs. There are going to be greater demands on public assistance probably because they don't have jobs right now. And then there's going to be, I don't know, disgruntlement, maybe an increase in crime because of all the economic displacement. This is not a recipe for fixing things. It's a recipe for making it immensely worse. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, agrees that this won't fix anything. He says this: this is a 2x4 smacked across the foreheads of the people of Illinois. This tax hike will solve none of our problems, and in fact, long run, it'll just make our problems worse. Well, let me ask you, Governor, have you taken a pay cut? I hope so. I hope you're leading by example. Have you demanded a pay cut by every level of government beneath you? In other words, once you lead by example, you don't just say, I'm going to do it, but nobody else has to. Take charge and say, now all of you are going to do something to reduce the cost of government. Did you do that? Have you stopped hiring people? Have you started firing people? Look, this is painful medicine, but the fact of the matter is that we have to agree that this can't go on. But Illinois is not agreeing it can't go on. You know why? Because what people always say, oh, it's political suicide if you do that. Yeah, you might get thrown out of office for trying to fix the thing, but by God, it's the right thing to do. Let me take a little break from that story. I'll get back to the Illinois crisis. You listen to the True Money Show, Crusade Channel, King Size Truth and Radio Size Speaker. Apparently, someone decided to call 844-527-8723. And apparently, when you dial those digits in, it rings all the way through to our phone system. And so Russ from Wisconsin has called in, and I don't know what Russ is calling about, but Russ, welcome to the True Money Show. How are you doing, fine sir?
We're a little bit wet up here today. Major storms move through, and a lot of people are dealing with a wet basement at the moment.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We just had a little storm blow through here a minute ago, but it's already passed, and so we just got a little bit.
Well, we got some areas we got 5-6 inches of rain.
Wow.
Overnight.
So, Russ,
it's been kind of interesting days.
Well, what are you calling
about? I got a couple of items here. You mentioned when I tuned in here, the obligation of citizenry to not be idolatrous when it comes to the nation state.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think over time what's happened is maybe it's nominalism that's crept in. The redefinition of what your country is,
yep,
what a nation state is.
Agreed.
And whether or not we're preoccupied with empire, as Patrick Henry warned us not to be.
Yeah, yeah.
These things, and then what's the obligation on those that are in service?
Yeah.
When things are clearly running in the direction that you can't justify it.
Right.
You ask yourself, perhaps the cadre have a certain responsibility to act forcefully and righteously.
Yeah. You know, Russ,
By resigning commissions.
Well, I did. You know, I was in for 16 years, you know. I mean, people always go, "Why didn't you get your retirement? Why don't you go back?" You know, I was in the National Guard at the time. They started using the National Guard for police actions. They were joining our unit. We were a linguist unit. I was military intelligence, and we were a linguist battalion. And so we had lots of Spanish speakers, of course, and they wanted to use us in their drug operations with the Drug Enforcement Administration. And that violates what's called Posse Comitatus Act. And and so I said, look, you're breaking the law. You know, you can't break the law and claim it to be some wonderful military operation or quasi-police operation. And, of course, I was one little peon captain. And, they, you know, so see you later, Dave. Thanks. I just couldn't go along. I couldn't go along anymore.
I give you all kudos, and you know, you did the right thing, and you have to go back and you say, where have you seen some others? I'm sure there's many, many, right, that aren't getting notoriety, but one particular one that stands out in my mind, because I had some familiarity with this individual and some of the people he has mentored. David Hackworth, and I don't know if you're familiar with his history or not, where he resigned on air.
No, I don't recall.
1971, I think it was.
Okay.
One of the most decorated airborne rangers we've had. When he came to the conclusion that the men he was in charge of had become mere cannon fodder in the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And on ABC News, he resigned on air.
You know,
and of course took leave of the country for a long time before coming back, and then I think dying here recently, not too long ago, from complications of Agent Orange.
Well, you know, Russ, whenever we talk about these kind of things, people you immediately jump to, you know, anti-American. Whatever, or anti-military, and of course I was in the military for 16 years, or actually longer than that, but because I enlisted before I became an officer. But anyway, it's not anti-military, you know. And by the way, the story I'm reading is lauding a general, you know, Henri Guisson, because I believe the military has a very valuable role to serve in, quote, and I want to emphasize the word, defending the country. But we're not defending the country anymore.
Exactly.
And the other thing is you get accused of anti-Americanism or something. And I never saw the transition of when America became the great beacon of freedom to when it became the abuser of all of the people on the planet. I just don't know when that transition occurred, but I know that it has occurred. And so I have two nephews, both in the military, one in the Army and one in the Air Force. I love my nephews dearly. One of them is my godson. And by the way, they have lots of problems with the duties they're being required to do. And in large measure, much of me says, you know what? These aren't declared wars. Refuse it. Refuse to fight. They're not declared wars. Therefore, they're not legal. They're not lawful. They're not moral. They're not anything. Just say no now.
Yes. You know, I think this has to be brought up more often, because that is the clue, you know. It just seems to me that over the decades now, especially since World War II, and the forces that are prominent at the national level have been able to hold court over the rest of us with these denunciations rather than exploring the policies and the philosophies necessary to justify war.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, we've all become cogs in the machine. We're supposed to shut up, pay our taxes, and send our kids to war.
I know.
And you're fed up with this, because 16 years of it, and we see nothing but, what, rubble?
Yeah.
Blood, wasted treasure, and a loss of liberty, true liberty, in this country.
Well, Russ, listen.
I'll tell you this in closing. I'm waiting for the day when the talk show mafia apologizes to Ron Paul.
Yeah.
I'll probably die waiting.
Well, listen, Russ, thanks for the call. I want to tell you this, though. What I'm advocating, and I'm like I said, everybody probably thinks I'm joking. I'm not joking. I really believe, and you sound like the man for the job, Russ. I want to create crusader captains all throughout the country. Now, I'm not let me make myself very clear so I don't get accused of anything stupid. I'm not advocating inflammatory talk. I'm not talking about blowing up buildings. I'm not talking about anything that would be wrong in itself, because we don't do wrong to accomplish some supposed good end. I'm talking about creating a force, a counter-revolutionary force in this country. I'm talking about all the people who are sitting in their houses, and I know there's millions of them. They're quiet. They're scared. They're unhappy, they're isolated, but we're their voice. The Crusade Channel has become their voice, and I'm saying we got to take it from the talking phase to the action phase. And the action phase can be done in any number of different ways. It might be political action. I'm not all that big of a fan of, but it might be political action. Definitely needs to be social action. Definitely needs to be prayerful action. It needs to be moral action. And I want to find men and women throughout this country and say, will you lead your community? And then you listen to the Crusade Channel for the orders of the latest thing. Because Mike was talking this morning about being outraged about that article in the Teen magazine, and we should be outraged. And then the woman called and says, well, what do we do? And then we went back to talking about it. And then we said, what do we do? Well, maybe we'll pray about it. Nothing wrong with prayer. I love prayer. But again, pray like everything depends on God. Work like everything depends on you. We should have had some type of arm there that in that town where that magazine is being published that could go there and picket that place or bring the police to that place and say they're producing pornographic material that should be banned from youth, but they're handing it out to youth. Isn't that a crime? Well, we don't have these arms yet. We need the arms, and we need to be like Henri Guisson, my hero. We need these troops out there who will fight to the last breath, defending right and goodness and truth and beauty. So anyway, I hope you join me. Rush, you sound like you're mad, and you ought to be, and I hope that that you join our little crusader clubs across the country and lead one up for us. Thanks for calling in the True Money Show, Russ. I appreciate it. Well, you see, look, I'm not making this stuff up. People are really irritated, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so long as we sit on our hands and do nothing, it's not going to get any better. I was inspired on Sunday, and here's my new motto. Love, which means we always are impelled by Christian charity first, and then do zealous good. Act zealously for good. Love and act zealously for good. I am not going to just love, meaning, I'll just say I love everyone and then tolerate all the evils of the world. Nor am I going to go around and beat people over the head without any charity. I'm going to have Christian charity motivating me, and I'm going to zealously do good. And I don't know what that means in its actual iteration on the ground. It doesn't matter what it means. What it means is we've got to start taking it. You listen to the True Money Show. I'm David Simpson, 844-527-8723. Russ just proved the phones work. If you'd like to call and answer the financial question of the day, it's why can't Americans enjoy life, or do they? Let me get back to this pension article. Today, Illinois' pension system owes $250 billion more than it has. That's more than the combined market value of four Illinois-based corporations. You're not going to believe this. The pension system owes more than what Boeing, Caterpillar, United Continental, and Allstate are worth. We have a problem, guys. By the way, Illinois is not the only state that has this problem. Kentucky, New Jersey, Arizona, and Connecticut also have huge holes in their pension funds. So, now, this is not a new problem. I wrote about this in 2010, I wrote this on my blog. I wrote a thing called the Pension Pinch. I'll get to it in a minute because it has some solutions. People have known about the pension problem for years, but the government has done nothing about it. All they've done is kick the can down the road. So this is going to affect you whether you live in Illinois or not, because if Illinois goes, other states are likely to follow. And when the displacement starts happening, when people start running away from the governmental fixes, it's going to get even worse. Possibly chaos in the streets. According to Moody's, U.S. public pensions are underfunded to the tune of $1.8 trillion. Other experts say it's closer to $8 trillion. By the way, last year the average pension fund made 1.5%. You know what they need to make in order to just catch up in Illinois? In Illinois, they need to make 25% over the next 2 years, and that would reduce their liabilities by 1%. If they make 19% over the next 2 years, their liabilities will still swell by 15%. This is serious trouble. What should governments do? Or what should anybody do? Well, I'm going to give you, this guy says government should dismantle the public pension system. Well, that's easier said than done. He says it won't happen because it's political suicide. Well, I ask the question, is real suicide better? And when people start killing themselves because they have no money and nothing to eat, is that going to be better? We need some political will here. And it's going to take real leadership, but I don't think they're going to do it. I honestly don't. Sorry to say, I don't believe they're going to do it. So what is the solution? According to Mr. Spittler, the solution is one of do two things. He says, first, you can move to another state that has a stable pension, and he gives you five states. I'll tell them to you in a minute. But I just kind of get kind of antsy when I hear that. Oh, run away from the problem over there, and then, but move to another state where they have the same problem. They have a public pension in these five places. So how is it better to go somewhere else and just wait for the problem to occur there? We've got to get to the root causes. But anyway, his answer, move to another state and buy gold. Both of those I won't argue with too much. But again, moving to another state is kind of like jumping from the frying pan into the sauté dish. Here's the next one to get in the frying pan. But here are the five states if you're interested. Texas, Michigan, Alabama, Washington, and the last one's not a state, District of Columbia. Those are the five that have relatively stable pension plans for now. And then he says buy gold. Well, you know, I talk about buying gold here a lot. Let me tell you what I said as a solution, because I wrote way back in 2010 a blog called The Pension Pinch or The War of the Ages. If you want to read that, go to my website, fiscalfitnesscompany.com, and in the search bar, just type pension and you'll find it. Here's what I said are the solutions. If you are currently receiving a pension or about to elect one, and have the option of taking a lump sum payment, you need to do that, even with the adverse tax consequences. Because if you leave it with the guys who have shown they don't have the ability to manage the money, you're just asking to get screwed. Second thing you ought to do, if you're working for a company or a governmental body that has a pension and you're enrolled in it, look at the vesting schedule. If you are already vested, meaning you've maybe served 12 of 20 years or 15 of 30 years, stop contributing to it. Say, okay, I'll take the 15-year vesting amount, whatever that is, when I get to be 55 or 60, whatever it is, and then start taking that same amount of money you're putting in the pension and put it somewhere else. That's option two. And finally, when you start putting money in other investments, you got to include family businesses or some other personally controlled productive enterprise. That's the best way to ensure your lifelong income is to have it under your control and with people that you love and care about. If you put this in the market, or you put this in some other pension or whatever else, it's likely going to evaporate and you're not going to be happy with that when it happens. You know, I'm going to have very little time to get, well, I'll do my funny money segment, not so funny money segment. You want to call in? I doubt I have time to take your call, but you can try. 844-527-8723. You can also email me. Let me check the email. David@tffco.com. Well, I see somebody wants to be on the show list. Timothy, thank you for writing in. I will add you to the show list ipso facto. Okay, here we go. Virginia man, this is my not so funny segment, not so funny money segment. Virginia man pleads guilty to killing a bald eagle by shooting it and running over it with an ATV. I won't bore you with all the details. Suffice it to say that a Virginia man killed an eagle. He says he shot with a .22. Somebody who was driving by said he rolled over it with his ATV. And so he got cited. And here's his sentence. The Virginia man faces up to a year in prison and a $100,000 fine. Now, look, I don't have anything against eagles. The man said he was killing it because it was killing the small game on his property and getting all the fish out of his pond. So it was a nuisance to him, and he wanted to get rid of the nuisance because it was costing him some value, his small game on his property and fish in his pond. But a year in prison and $100,000 fine is what he's facing. So here's my question. Is his crime killing an eagle? Is his crime torturing an eagle? Because that sounds like maybe part of it. Oh, I can't believe he rolled over with an ATV. At least that's what's being alleged. Or is his crime killing America? You know, the bald eagle, the whole, wow, that's our symbol. We're so free. Maybe he's killing America. So we're going to make an example of this poor SOB, right? So here are my final questions of my not-so-funny money segment. What do you get when you kill an American icon like the bald eagle? Answer, a year in prison and $100,000 fine. What do you get, on the other hand, when you kill an American in the form of a baby? And the answer, about a $1,600 fee. That's on average. So, moral of the story, kill babies. Don't kill eagles. Makes sense, right? Do we need to stand up and start fighting the stupidity that surrounds us? I say yes! Ding, 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 ding. True Money Show coming to you with a news alert. We are upside down, backwards, and inside out, and we just need to admit it and start fighting against it. 844-527-8723. I posed a financial question of the day when I came in, and it was a simple question, I think, relatively simple. I addressed this slightly when I guest hosted the Mike Church Show on Friday. Why can't Americans enjoy life? That's my financial question of the day. Or do they? And I have the last few minutes of the show I will spend answering that question myself. There was an article by Mr. John Horvat, who I've had on my show, H-O-R-V-A-T. He's associated with a very staunch traditional group. I think you'll find them refreshing, called Tradition, Family, and Property. And Mr. Horvat wrote an article called Why Can't Americans Enjoy Life? In it, he cites a philosopher, Joseph Pieper, looks like Piper, P-E-I-P-E-R, who wrote a book called... what was that book called? It should be in here somewhere. Leisure, the Basis of Culture. And what Mr. Horvat describes is a difference between what Americans do for entertainment and what traditionally human beings did for entertainment. And I think the distinction is very valid. What do we do today? And I find modern entertainment very soul-numbing. When I go somewhere now with my kids and my family, usually I'm a little annoyed by the end of the operation because it's either touristy gawking, some slightly immoral movie. Even the good movies have some of these messages in there. You're like pulling your hair out going, why'd they put that in there? It might be just pure spectator, no involvement. It's always a controlled environment. You know, you go somewhere like a zoo or somewhere or some museum. You can't touch anything. We don't want you touching stuff. It's always, like I said, kind of a gawking, touristy, passive nothing. Horvat makes the claim that we need to do something called leisure, not quote-unquote entertainment. I don't have time for him. What time? So, leisure. What is leisure? Leisure, Horvat maintained, and so did Joseph Pieper, that it involved having a purpose to what you were doing. And so you can probably analogize this to like when you finish the yard, when you cut the grass, and you have that sense of accomplishment, right? A lot of people experience this. And you sit outside and you drink a cold beer and you look at all the work you did, the weed eating and the grass cut. But that's not really what you're enjoying. What you're enjoying is the accomplishment. You're admiring nature and you're feeling a sense of community because you beautified your hometown. That's what we should be doing and why Americans can't enjoy themselves. They're not having festivals and leisure. They're doing gaudy entertainment. I hope that helps you a little bit. Thank you for tuning in to the True Money Show. I'll be here every day from 11 to 1. Come back and see me. I hope to hear from you. You're listening to David Simpson on the True Money Show, Crusade Channel, King Size Truth, from Radio Size Speakers.
Money working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery. Refrigerators.